Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are. This is our special show for the 4th of January, 2022.
Yeah, best of. People like best of, don't they?
And it's a best of. Yeah, it's a best of.
So we had Ryan Radisky. He, as a regular.
He's done this before.
Yeah, he's done this before. And it's interesting because, can I just give you a little color what he wrote me about some of the things? So his payment for doing this was, I give him financial advice. That's kind of part of the thing. Plus his utter enjoyment of listening to us drone on for hours at a time, of course.
So he said, only do 1 hour.
Yeah, but he does this for all year. That's how many hours? That's 50 hours worth of our stuff.
Oh, yeah, he has to listen to show after show after show after show. Yeah.
So he did rough. This whole thing on his new system, his new rig. He has 100% on Linux, 24-thread AMD processor, new Samsung 55-inch TV monitor, and he's been using Manjaro Arc Linux as his only OS since April, so he's all excited about that. Throughout Windows 10, and kind of he hates that. But basically, he's gone from 4 years ago when he started doing this for us. He has two retirement accounts rolling on now. Student loan is about to be finished and sold and set off and done and paid off. And his credit score is over 800 for the first time in his life.
Yeah, that's nice.
That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, it's very good for a kid.
So he put this together for us, and this is the first of two shows where we are going to have the best of. And we have three different sets of, well, items that we talk about that he brought together. And the first one that we're going to talk about is our dear old President Biden. There's a lot going on there, right? We had executive orders and a lot less excitement with President Biden than Trump, right?
You know, it's hard to say. Depends on where you're coming from with this president. It's either more exciting or less exciting, or the media won't tell us anything, so they don't hound the guy, so he can kind of coast.
Right, but no golf, but more sleeping.
Oh, that's funny. He doesn't play golf. He's one of the few presidents that never played golf.
He's got some tariffs that are, all that. Anyway, we have all this coming up separated by little sound bites so you can hear when our best of starts and where it ends. So let's kick it off. This narrative, this whole idea that, oh my God, if Biden gets in, we're going communist, right? That was that whole underbearing and the whole underlying concept by a lot of supporters or a lot of conservatives, right? The whole idea is...
Well, the belief is that Biden is so out of touch and weak that the communists that are in office, the
AOCs and all that, right?
Ilhan Omar and AOC and these others will just roughshod him into, just signing off on all kinds of stupid stuff, which I don't believe is going to happen.
Come on, man.
Everyone loves Joe.
Yeah, nice fellow. We have massive executive orders coming down the pike. You know, it's kind of funny, isn't it, John? When the Republicans, the president, Republican Trump, was signing all those executive orders, the Democrats were just up in arms. Oh, we've never seen such a bastardization of the Constitution. Yeah, of
exactly.
And now we're hearing that just a slew. First day, right after the swearing in, signing off on all sorts of things that are going to be done as an executive order. But that's okay, because these are good ones, right?
Yeah, these are good. Those are bad.
Yeah, those are bad. Bad and good.
We're good, they're bad.
Yeah.
Well, I think, it's interesting to note that Dow is up 116. It's up in the 30,000 range as Biden takes office. Let's see what happens.
We made historic progress over the last 10 months.
Biden made a very significant announcement last night. He said he made about EVs, electric vehicles. President Biden on Monday said he wants to replace the entire U.S. government's fleet of roughly 650,000 vehicles with electric motors. and models as the new administration shifts its focus towards clean energy. He said the federal government also owns an enormous fleet of vehicles, which we're going to replace with clean electric vehicles made right here in America, made by American workers. Well, that's all the EV space had to hear. Shot up workhorse up 35%.
Yeah, that was actually something could have been predicted.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, that's a lot of cars.
And you know, the real good news is good for the tax revenues, or for the government to get a deal because they get a federal tax credit.
There's a lot we can be proud of.
Let's see here. Well, the Republicans are all of a sudden becoming very concerned about spending. You know, these Democrats are spending too much. They're trying to come up with another plan in a letter to Biden. Well, let me tell you some of the people. You got Collins, you got Murkowski, you got Romney. The same that don't want anything.
Same old, same old.
And then they cave in.
Fake Republicans.
Yep.
Come on, man.
And that is I think it's an ETF, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's the marijuana ETF.
ETF, and the thing is skyrocketing. You're up with it. I don't know when you picked it. You picked it when Biden got elected.
Right.
And you picked it for that reason. So since Biden got elected, this baby's up over 150%. I wish we had some sound effects. You really need a round of applause. This is the finest in all the years of this show.
And now the Wall Street Journal is reporting that Biden has started to push forward on passing another economic stimulus plan. Been having phone calls and White House meetings.
Yeah. He got the other one passed, but he's working on one. I think this is $4 trillion.
A new infrastructure plan. The shovel ready. Got to have the shovel ready. We're going to have the, we're going to fix all the bridges. We're going to fix they're going to talk about new train. They got to talk
what
about
new train.
They got to talk about trains. They always love to talk about trains.
Well, they always go to trains. Yeah, they're this trains thing. I want to talk about potholes on Highway 80.
But we still face challenges in our economy.
Biden, new nomination, nominates big technology company critic Lina Khan as the FTC commissioner. And she's written many papers on antitrust in the tech space and an advocate of potential breakups. So yeah.
They talk a big game about breakups, but I never see one.
When's the last breakup we had? Well,
when's the last AT&T? It was like in the 70s or something like that.
The baby bells. It's like a whole swath of them. Some survived, some didn't.
I wish they would put somebody in there that really felt that this was important. I think it is.
We made historic progress over the last 10 months.
We have more money on the way. We have part one, $2.25 trillion being talked about. Biden's plan will include approximately, here's a list of things. I don't know if you've seen this yet. $650 billion to rebuild the United States infrastructure, such as roads, bridges, highways, and ports.
How come they always have these big numbers and nothing ever gets rebuilt? I still have potholes on Highway 80. I remember there was shovel ready back in 2008 and nothing was done. Still hasn't been done.
That's Trump's fault.
Yeah, everything's Trump's fault.
More people are starting small businesses than ever before.
Well, this is the new administration. This is what Biden did about the leaving Afghanistan.
We clipped
him saying, it was just short of saying, if we ever leave, then it'll be done in a certain way. But it's now, a guaranteed leaving in May, which is what Trump promised.
They just changed it today. And this is on our show notes. So I'm going to tell you this since we're here. What date did he pick? The exact, not May, not June, not July, September 11th.
Biden?
Yep.
Biden announced picked September 11th?
September 11th, 9/11.
Why?
I guess it stands for something. It's making a statement.
There's a lot we can be proud of.
U.S. President Joe Biden, he's going to be posing this week on raising rates. This is another part that we really haven't talked about because it's relatively new, that the marginal income tax rate on... for income will increase to 39.6 from 37, which is kind of a take back. Nearly doubling the taxes on capital gains to 39.6% for people earning more than $1 million, according to sources. Now, hold that in your mind, what I just said, and I want to read the final point here and come back. Wealthy Americans can face an overall capital gains tax rate of 43.4%, including the 3.8% net investment tax on individuals with income of $200,000 or more, or $250,000 married. Now, circling back here, doubling taxes on capital gains, 39.6, for people earning more than $1 million. Okay, you got that?
Yeah.
Who came up with the round number of $1 million? And why is it that?
So, because it's a round number?
Is it the old, oh, we're going to get those millionaires?
Must be.
Because, you know, if you earn $1 million, you gotta be a millionaire.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
And that's the theory, right?
Unemployment is down to 4.6%.
I have a question about golf. You can answer this. You're the guy to answer this. During the Obama administration, there was hysteria over how much Barack Obama played golf. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Hysteria. Then when President Trump was in, there was likewise hysteria over how much he played golf. You remember that?
Right. Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Have you heard of Biden playing even one round?
I don't think Biden can walk a course.
I was thinking about this the other day. I mean, presidents going down the list, down the years, played golf, right? That's what they do, right? Some played more than others.
I don't remember Nixon playing golf. And I don't remember Gerald Ford playing golf.
I think Ford played golf.
Clinton played golf.
Yeah, Clinton played golf.
I mean, Ford was a, you know, he was a college athlete, which is amusing. But so he may have, he could play
what
golf.
What about Bush? Anyway, point is the last two presidents. Yeah.
There's a lot of golfing that goes on with these guys.
A lot of golf. But I was thinking about it and I was wondering, I haven't heard a peep out of everybody. So what does he do? Does he have a thing? He's not just working all the time, is he?
He's sleeping a lot.
He's sleeping a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right. So in between naps, he's sleeping. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
How many push-ups you want to do here, pal?
Oh, you had a discussion on No Agenda this week with Adam where neither of you got anywhere, but the discussion was about how Biden said that social media companies are killing people. Yeah. And you went round and round and round.
Yeah, Adam had some crackpot. I don't know what he was thinking, but
it was clear that it could have been a mistake that he didn't put the words social media companies are killing people in front of all of it. Versus he was saying that the unvaccinated people are killing people. I'm on your side on this one. I didn't really understand what was going on with that. But there's a whole thing now that, you know, social media is the cause of misinformation that's going on, and they're fighting back and forth, and Facebook's pissed that they said it was their fault and they're killing people.
Facebook had a good argument, too. They showed that they have all kinds of data that has gone out to the public with the government lying. They've been kowtowing to the government and going along with the program better than anybody, and they were irked by the fact that they were called out.
Yeah.
I don't blame them.
Yep.
Wages are rising. Disposable income is up.
Biden just put on a new extension to the mask requirement for buses, trains, and planes till January 2022.
Yeah.
January 18th, sounds to right. be exact. And I'm not sure what the 18th is all about, but okay. Or maybe it's a certain amount of months from where we are today, maybe.
Come on, man.
Tariffs. U.S. Trade Representative Tai will declare Monday that an extensive review, and she did, found that China isn't meeting its commitments under the phase one trade deal. I find this hysterical. Like, did we ever think that phase one skinny crapola trade, they're going to build factories, and they're going to buy so much corn and soybeans, more than ever, and the greatest deal ever put together. Did we ever think they were going to really do something?
No.
What a bag of crap this was. So now this is going to lay the groundwork for the Biden administration to now keep in place the Trump-era tariffs while considering even other punitive actions. Now, just help me with this. refresh me. Do I recall somewhere in the campaign there was a big hoo-ha about the Trump tariffs on China and we need to do something about those and all that, and the Democrats want to get rid of it, right?
They ran on it.
That's what it was. That's correct. That's right. They ran on the fact that we were becoming too nationalistic and we wanted to go back to globalization.
Yeah, pretty much.
And now they're going to keep the tariffs on because the phase one trade deal, which they didn't want. So stupid.
I'm surprised that Biden didn't just kill it just out of spite, but they thought better of it.
Mm. We made historic progress over the last 10 months.
Modi from India is targeting net zero emissions by 2070.
Yeah, it's always good to push it out like that.
Yeah, India's prime minister on Monday said he was in the COP26 climate talks where Joe Biden fell asleep, and he's got to get his. You probably saw that clip, right?
What?
Joe Biden fell asleep. Did you fall asleep too?
I'm sorry. No, I didn't fall asleep.
I was saying Joe Biden fell asleep at the COP26 climate talks.
I saw that video. I'm not sure he fell asleep, but maybe he did.
He was resting. He was thinking. He was.
Well, he was. The problem I have with that being, most people who fall asleep in these kind of meetings, they jerk up when they wake up.
Correct. Their head goes flying. But he may have perfected it. You don't know.
Well, maybe, but I doubt it.
He may have perfected the perfect cross-armed
doze. So you're dozed.
Yeah.
Your head is stationary, mm-hmm. and somebody came up and interrupted him, and he wasn't startled.
First of all, that person is probably going to get a talking to because he wasn't there fast enough. That guy is the wake Joe up guy. That's who that guy is. He's the guy that's like, hey, go over and take out a pad and look like you whisper something to him like, hey, Joe, wake up. I'm talking to you about something. Just nod your head. Take a look at this pad, and we're going to make it look like we're actually talking about something.
Yeah, well, that's the way it went.
Yeah. But anyway, they're going to be targeting this.
By the way, I can't blame a guy for falling asleep under those circumstances. That was boring.
I agree totally. I totally agree. I fell asleep watching him fall asleep.
He's on jet lag. He's in the wrong time zone. I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah. Told by an elder brother of Joe's.
Yeah, there you go.
How many push-ups you want to do here, pal?
You know, we could just have more and more of everything, and everything somehow miraculously prospers. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's the Biden administration. It's the Biden magic.
Yeah, it is magic. God bless him. All right, so that was President Biden, our comments on that. What's next?
The end of the world is near. Next is undisciplined investors. This will be about Robinhood, shorting the market, emotional investing, which we've seen a lot of, the craziness of the market in general, investment scams,
meme stocks. All the memes.
All the memes and the crazy stocks that went up for no reason. That I spent half the year shorting one of them on the game. Separated anyway. The rest, this will be separated by the same sounds.
This is a little bit more punchy. The sounds.
Yeah, so. because everyone took a beating if they weren't in the market.
Yeah, let's take a listen. I am not a big fan of Robinhood in terms of, you know, all the things that I've seen, the actual cost of investing with them, the improper way that they handle the whole investing process. I'm not saying you can't make money with them and do what you got to do, but it's not really high-end investing. Now, if you're investing $300, $400, you want to play around and you view it as a game and it's gamified investing and all that, okay, have at it. Have a good time. If you have nothing better to do, go for it. But if you really want to invest the right way, you go to one of the big boys. It doesn't have to be the Goldman Sachs, but the Schwabs, the TDs, the IBs, you know, those guys. We've seen some massive parabolic moves in the highly shorted stock space. This is now a thing. The thing is, let's go after the old wall. Those companies, you know, that are investing in things that are, or shorting things that shouldn't be shorted. Like companies like, you know, Hertz and Kodak and GameStop and BBBY. But it's not necessarily the same like we saw, although it feels a bit like 1999, 2000, where things are just running up 20, 30% a day. And the difference is those were companies that were thought to have something in the future that would be really outstanding.
Yeah, .com.
Right. This is like, oh, this is going to be new. It's going to be great. It's kind of like the EVs. I get that. I get the EV space.
This, it's a new economy back then.
Right. It was a brand new thing. It was on a hope. It was on the idea. But this is on companies like somebody mentioned in the chat room, like Nokia. AMC was up, I think, 80% today, the movie theater chain. These are companies that are being heavily shorted, and now they're being targeted by the Reddits and subreddits, Wall Street Bets, and the Dave Portnoy's, and the you know, all the players that are trying to bust up the hedge funds, because damn them, they're shorting stocks, and that shouldn't be allowed. Stocks should be able to go up 100% a day, and that forever. Should be reasonable. So it all hell throughout this whole time is breaking loose. We got the Robinhood traders closing accounts, saying that they ruined their lives. It's all because of Robinhood. You see, Dave Portnoy, who's, you know, Barstool Sports and Davey Day Trades, you know this guy?
Oh, yeah.
He's blaming everything on Robinhood. Robinhood stole his money, lost $700,000 on these trades. He's
What's he bitching about?
Well, he's bitching because it wasn't his fault. He did nothing wrong by investing in these stocks. It's all because of goddamn Robinhood prevented trading in these highly illiquid and crazy.
What is he doing? A guy with that kind of money, what is he trading on a rinky-dink public domain platform for?
I don't even know. You got to wonder. No, he's probably not trading on that. He's blaming the move down.
Oh, he's blaming them. Okay, well, that's different.
Yeah, I think he's blaming them for,
oh, please,
you know, this whole move because they stopped allowing for new. See, it's funny because people have the wrong idea. I think have the wrong idea of this. You know, the whole idea of they stopped trading. They wouldn't let anybody buy. Well, no, they wouldn't let any new opening positions on many of the stocks, which meant they weren't allowing shorting either. So they were allowing closing positions, which would mean that any of the shorts could close their position or any of the longs could sell and close their positions. So there was still a ability to buy and sell depending on which side of the market you were on. So this whole thing makes no sense to me that they're blaming Robinhood. Robinhood took steps in this whole process to protect the integrity of the platform due to the fact that
Robinhood's got to protect Robinhood.
Yeah, and they had to protect their people in their accounts from not from themselves, but from having an adverse impact on the financial stability of Robinhood, which would then leak down into every account that's there. So, and this wasn't only Robinhood. I got notes from TD Ameritrade. I think was it TD? Well, TradeStation had said they were open for business. IB, Interactive Brokers, said, hey, we're limiting certain transactions. I know that there was a problem a couple of mornings with trying to open trades. I saw some things come through. It was very, very brief information. I think it was from Schwab that said they were doing things and preventing certain orders. I mean, and that's the right thing to do in what was going on. Because what was going on wasn't just, okay, a news item and it pushed it all up. It was out of control.
Yeah, that's what the markets, that is what the regulation, that's not even the regulators, it's what the market itself is supposed to do.
Yes, it's supposed to self-regulate.
It's what it's supposed to do.
Yep.
Yeah, it did it. So what?
Right. Now, because there
by
was-
By the way, if GameStop is such a good deal at $350 and they had to stop trading, what's your rush? Why do you have to rush to get out of it?
Yep.
I was thinking of shorten GameStop again.
Oh, don't GameStop. Well, you know the stock too.
Which reminds me of that old Irish joke.
Oh?
Yeah, the guy he runs into a genie in a bottle. Genie comes out and he says, I can grant you two wishes. He says, only two? He says, yeah, only two wishes. What would you like? And the guy says, he's at a bar. The genie was in a bottle. And he says, I'll have a Guinness. Oh, that's what you want. Okay, well, I'll do you one better. And he gives him the Guinness. And the Irishman takes a drink of the Guinness and he downs it. And the Guinness glass fills straight all the way up to the top again.
Hmm.
He says, wow, And he takes another drink of it and he drinks it all down and there fills up again. And he says, this going to do this like all the time? And the genie said, yes. He says, so what do you want for your second wish? And the Irishman says, I'll have another one of these.
Yeah. Hello? Yeah, no, I got it.
Is this mic on?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I got it.
I'll have another one. Would be the, that's why
Shorty GameStop again. Yeah, double up on the double up. But, you know, you had other stocks too. You had Build-A-Bear, you had BlackBerry, you had AMC Networks.
Yeah, you know, I never follow those. I should probably look, take a look at those. Maybe I could chart them. I'll do
so
them on the next
ridiculous.
Show,
AMC's down to $5.50 again. So the whole thing, by the way, just to close the show on this note, never invest for social reasons that are beyond the scope of what you're thinking and getting all lathered up because we're going to win whatever game it is. Investing is not a game. There's not a disclaimer necessarily, but it's not a game. You know, we play a game here, of course.
There is a game. It's called gambling. It's in Las Vegas.
That's what this all was. That's exactly right.
And by the way, at a crap table, you're all in it together. It's fantastic.
That's right. This guy, Keith Gill.
Yeah, this guy. I've heard him interviewed.
Yeah. So, you know, he obviously made a lot of money on this. But once this deal was all over, once the whole charade of the congressional hearing was over, he went in and bought 50,000 more shares of GameStop.
Huh.
Figured, you know what?
He's a diehard.
Not only is he a diehard, the fact is he realized that there's nothing that's going to happen to him by any of this. Isn't that
yes.
The, isn't that, what have we ever seen anything more than a hit and, you know, a hit and run kind of concept from a congressional hearing?
Well, I think it's just designed to make you feel bad.
Make who feel bad?
Those CEOs.
Yeah, that's it. It's just a way to somehow make that the people, the politicians look good for the constituents. Because they're just banging out all these other bad people, the hedge fund owners, the short sellers, the terrible CEOs. Because they're with the people. They're with the people. They know about the people. Robinhood is giving amateur investors, they call it amateur investors. You always have a qualifier, not investors, but amateur investors. So they're giving professional or amateur investors the access to initial public offerings, IPOs, in the latest move to democratize retail investing. Medical scrubs company Figs, which held recent discussions and filed its paperwork to go public with the SEC, will be the first company to offer its shares on the Robinhood app. Figs is going to give up to 1% of the shares, the Class A common shares offered according to it. I don't know if you're going to get like one share, you know what I mean? But that may be a Robin, an amateur investor. It's like, oh, it's $40. Yeah. Okay, I'll buy it. That's all they were going to buy anyway.
Yeah, it could be, maybe.
But that's kind of an interesting thing that they're trying to do. I think this is actually a good thing to a degree. The only problem I have is if they don't go through the channels to vet some of these companies correctly, a lot of people are going to become bag holders for crap companies that became public. Robinhood, big fine on Robinhood. The online broker has been ordered to pay. Now, you have to be careful when you read this. Everybody's like, oh, they're going to pay this big fine. They've been ordered to pay $70 million for systemic supervisory failures that harmed thousands of consumers in the process. And $12.6 million in restitution to the harmed customers, which I'm assuming is about $1.32 per person.
It sounds right.
You know?
Yeah, that's the way it works. I've seen those settlements. I've gotten a few myself, 10 cents.
Right. It's like, what do you do with that? You don't even know how to cash that check. What do I do with it?
Yeah, well, I usually frame them.
So just to be clear about something, we know one of the big attractors, aside from the ease of use of the Robinhood platform and app, is that it's free trading. I would like to say that again. Free trading. And then I want to throw back at you that they're trying to raise a valuation of $35 billion, which only comes from the fact that they're making lots and lots of money, right?
If they're making money and it's free trading, how are they making money?
Yeah. So just as a point of reference, not so free. It's an explanation of what is payment for order flow. And what they said is the money the market maker pays to your broker to trade with your orders at a price he decides. Your broker will charge you no commissions and will leave you no choice. And that's why at various companies that they chose to do this, because it's better. They under the guise that it's better execution, better deal for you as the end client. I don't necessarily see it totally that way, but something to consider. Robinhood IPO came out. The company fell below its $38 IPO offering immediately, down to like 32, 33. Kathy Wood from ARK Investment started buying, and that helped shares. She bought like 50 million shares or something, $50 million worth. Robinhood now expects to swing to a net loss of $487 million in the second quarter of the year. Option trading, this is really fascinating. Option trading for Robinhood accounts for about 38% of revenue. That's a lot of revenue, especially for a company that doesn't charge commissions.
Wait, they're doing the option trading?
They're customers. Customers are trading.
Oh, their customers are doing the option
trading. They made 38% of their revenue with these are retail investors whacking on options. I can't imagine that staying there forever.
No, that's ridiculous. That's way too high.
Right. Equities and crypto are 25% and 17% respectively. Crazy. Finished, I think, about $50 right now. Robinhood said its stockholders could sell up to 97. This is fascinating. 97.9 million shares of its company and will not receive any of the proceeds. Well, the prospectus showed that there was a little stipulation inside of there, something to the effect that if the stock doubled, went up 100%, and stayed there for some time, it was very unclear as to how long or what it had to do, but it would unlock the share's ability to be sold immediately. Stock dropped initially a little bit, but then dropped 27% the next day after the sale announcement. And they took it. So you got to wonder, once again, if the players involved knew the game to be played with the options and buying out of the money call or selling out of the money calls, and then, I'm sorry, buying out of the money calls, pressing the stock, doing a short squeeze that would require the call sellers to then cover their positions and ramp this thing up just so they can get out of this deal.
Wow.
Amazing.
That's a good theory.
Yep. And today, out of nowhere, somewhere around, I'll say, 1 o'clock, all of a sudden, the meme stocks started to make a massive run. Koss, Build-A-Bear, BlackBerry, GameStop, AMC, ramping. AMC was up, I think, 20% by the end of the day, and GameStop was up 28%, handing some tallied $1 billion of losses to the shorts.
Well, it's, you know what that means to me.
Back on the game.
Number nine.
No, go again nine. Go again nine is coming up, folks. Yeah, that's interesting. It's there was really nothing going on. I was looking for some commentary on what was happening. Somebody was talking about, well, take a look at the fact that we're seeing a drop in the Bitcoin and the crypto space. So maybe people are taking money out and throwing it over there. And we did see them come in for a little bit. There, I think GameStop was up like 40% at one point and came down only up 20 down, you know, down at lost about 15%, so down about 20, up 20%. And at the same time, we saw that Bitcoin was rising. Well, we're taking money out of their profits there. They're ramping them back into Bitcoin. I don't know. It's kind of a weird situation.
When did Build-A-Bear get into this?
The thought that Build-A-Bear is even still around is just unbelievable. So this meme ETF, investors looking to bet on the meme stock and the big phenomena that surrounds them that has been characterized by the retail trading boom, may have soon have a way to do so. Now, listen to that for a second. Investors that want to bet on the meme stock phenomenon may soon have a way to do so. Yeah, you know what that was? Invest in them. So now, once again, same thing. Just a repackage, a twist of something you could have done anyway. Somehow it's going to be a way to do this that you couldn't ever do it before. No, 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 no. If you want to invest in AMC or Build-A-Bear or any of the other meme names, name them whatever they are, you could go out and just buy the stock, can't you?
Well, I think you can go even one step further. Yeah. Put together a boiler room like the Russians do.
Right.
Or just have the Russians do it. Yeah, and why, just why, the Russians why, do it. They'll be glad to get on this deal, the Ukrainians. And just have them put a team of about 100 guys. There'll be plenty of money to go around if you can pull this off with 100 people. And have them join every forum out there. Pick a stock, have it one in the boiler room, have, okay, here's the one we're going to go with, boys, and have then have these guys go nuts and start posting left and right and left and right. Each one of them, it's many guys, yeah, I agree with him. He's right.
Right.
Just go on, and it'll take you just a few weeks to rack one of these babies up. That's all it would take with 100 people.
Yep, and then not to mention the bots. Not to mention the bots that you'll create on top of it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's the way to do it.
They're going to charge some
kind of money from suckers.
That's all it is.
What else is new?
Just hanging a fish in the water with a hook in it. That's what it is, in a barrel. And people are going to, look at that. Ooh, the symbol is meme, M-E-M-E. That must be they really know what they're doing. They're going to buy all this stuff.
Not only that, but there's nothing, what I described as system to run these stocks up or to get the attention they need to get the attention of people like the meme guys, is legal.
Yeah, that's isn't that disgusting? Robinhood earnings after the close today, ugly. They reported the metrics for the third quarter of September results missed on revenues. Guys, Q4 revenues below consensus. They report a loss of $2.06 per share. Expectations were for 20 cents. They may not be totally comparable, but revenues did rise 35% year over year to $364 million, which is still pretty pathetic for a $95 billion overall assets under custody company. Massive loss. Their crypto activity declined from the record highs of the prior quarter, leading to considerably fewer new funded accounts, a slight decline in net cumulative fund accounts, and lower revenue in the third quarter compared to the second revenue. The revenue in the second quarter of 2021. So if they can't make money in this environment, not so good.
Good point.
Not so good, man.
So that's pretty much summed up some of the nuttiness in the market.
Yeah, it was a weird year. Let's be honest.
That's a nice way. He put together a pretty good selection there.
Yeah. So then we had a year of records. You know, even though we had all this craziness going on, right? We have the incredible amount of liquidity with money. We have all this going on with the cryptocurrencies and Robinhood and all the things that we've heard in undisciplined investors. But we had records. I mean, record after record. Apple hitting just about $3 trillion. Bitcoin was seeing the highs. I think they were the most highs than in the S&P 500 since the last, like, 30 years.
It was like every other day. And should just mention, I was at the gas station. The record for premium gas is now $5.15 in California, even though it's supposed to have gone down.
Unbelievable. So all of this that went on, this whole idea of, you know, housing markets going crazy and, you know, oil that hit this crazy number, then drop right back down with the fear of this and that. The bottom line is investors didn't care very much. So let's hear all about all the records that we hit in 2021. All right, Apple update. Apple smartphone shipments jumped 22% to record levels in the fourth quarter, making it the world's biggest seller, while those for Huawei plunged as U.S. sanctions took effect, which is right back to the same story. Shipments hit 90.1 million phones, a record for any quarter, giving it a global market share of 23.4%. That's pretty impressive. Especially because
it's incredibly impressive.
I mean, Samsung and Google, well, you know, Google's the rest of it, but it's not. It's not any one brand. Whereas Apple's one brand.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And they're expensive.
Yep. Sure are. Bitcoin, yeah, we have another record close, closing up to and surpassing 50,000 today on a quick jump. It took like, I looked left, I looked right, it was 49,000 change. Then I look over, it's like 50,800 or something like that. And then drop right back down. Well, markets have been ripping around. We talked about last week that we were back, and finally markets got a little bit of a reprieve on Monday, Tuesday. But, I mean, they really got a reprieve throughout the week, one of the best weeks. And we saw that the kickback on the Dow hitting a new high, the S&P hitting a new high, the small caps hitting a new high, although the NASDAQ still lagging a bit. The Jets ETF, JETTS, which we talked about a few months ago, highest price since March 2020. Which
nice.
Well, when you get a $14 billion excess.
Yeah, free money.
Free money. And $1 billion for contractors to the air carriers to extend payroll support, and $8 billion for airports to make changes to facilitate prevention of the spread of COVID-19.
Why does it take $8 billion to do that?
Oh, it's very expensive. It's very expensive. All right, let's talk about what's going on in the area of finance markets and all that. We have records broken.
Yeah, it's getting out of control.
Yeah, a lot of interesting things happening there. GameStop finally announced a secondary offering this week to everybody's, I don't know, surprise, but it's like, well, when are they going to do it already? And they finally did it. Economic activities on fire. More records broken. Records being smashed in historical measures. I mean, we saw the ISM Services Index come out this week. The highest level ever in recorded history.
Well, what does that tell us?
It tells us that the low interest rates, the reopening, the fact that there's incredible amounts of money pouring on everybody. I have heard over the last week more discussion about the PPP program again. I thought that was kind of like over. Not over, but, you know, kind of like, all right, it's done. Anybody that wanted it would have gone and gotten it already. But no. It seems like there's another round, and they've made it a lot easier this time around. So we had this great number for the jobs number, and the NASDAQ was up, flying really high. Of course, not up to an all-time high yet, but the S&P was up. The Dow Jones were up, all-time high, once again smashing records. Small caps were up slightly. Crude oil, for some reason, down 6%. VIX was up, still sub 20, really weird market condition. The 10-year yield went to 1.74, slipped back today to about 1.66. That's the key to be watching is the 10-year. That's what everybody's watching right now. So the ISM manufacturing also came in to 64.7, which is the highest level since 1983 in December. Tesla came out with their numbers again, another one on a Good Friday. Tesla delivered, happy Easter, by the way, 184,800 cars worldwide in the first quarter of 2021, up from 180,570 in the fourth quarter, so about 4,000 more cars. This is another record smashed here. There's word, and you look at the actual delivery numbers, that China played a very big part in this. There's other discussion from a lot of the bears out there about Tesla saying that they offered like a 20% cut in fees or costs in order to get to that level. But whatever it is, they did get the deliveries done. That's what they were looking for. Markets in rally mode with very low volume. As a matter of fact, last week on Friday was the lowest volume of the year, and followed on Monday by just ridiculously low volume. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting. We'll see.
We've seen it before.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to mean anything.
It doesn't. They try to make it mean a lot, in the news. The only thing that I can tell you is that there is a, it's kind of a sign of maybe summer's approaching. Money's exhausted potentially. You know, if you have markets that are down on low volume, everybody's like, oh, don't worry about it. Low volume. Everybody's, you know, that's just nothing. It's a quick. But if it's up on low volume, it was like, don't worry. You know, it's kind of a two-edged sword. Melt up. That's another one of those phrases. I keep bringing these phrases on board.
You're doing a great job of it.
Melt up. A record. I need you to make sure you're sitting down, not squeaking as you're sitting, but sitting down. And listening to these numbers, everybody needs to listen to these numbers. They're unbelievable. A record $576 billion has flown into equity funds since November, 5 months or so, right? More than the $452 billion that was seen moving into equity funds over the last 12 years combined.
12 years, it was only four something?
452 net. So you net what's in, what's out, what's in, what's out. That's what the story shows. That was a Bank of America piece on this. And this is some reports are in the same report. They're talking about kicking off the second quarter with the second highest earnings multiple in more than 100 years for markets. Many traditional market top signals ranging from retail investors to surveys to valuations are flashing amber. Flashing amber. I'm getting kind of achy, by the way.
None of this sounds very good.
Rolls-Royce motor cars. You know those. You have one, right?
Oh, yeah. I wish.
Yeah. Had his best quarter in 116-year history.
Well, that's not a good thing.
Why is that? What do you mean?
I mean, it sounds to me as though when people are just cranking it, buying Rolls, that's like, sounds like there's too much money out there to just being, I don't know. It just doesn't sound right.
They set a new record of sales recorded in the first quarter as the world's wealthy snapped up.
Not a cheap car.
$330,000 SUV and other models. The luxury car company, which owns BMW, delivered 1,380 cars in the first quarter. That's it. 1,380. I think that's less than Tesla. Up 62%, right?
Can't be sure, though.
Up 62% for the same quarter in 2020 as the pandemic started. New record for the company, surpassing the previous high in 2019. So this is a report on the short interest. The median short interest in members of the S&P 500 sits at 1.6% of market value, near a 17-year low, according to Goldman Sachs. A short covering frenzy sent the bearish bets collapsing. Never before in the Morgan Stanley data. At the same time, hedge funds, the longs are about the highest relative level in years, according to JP Morgan. There's a quick chart on this as well. It just shows you the short interest in the S&P, how the S&P has moved and how short interest has come down dramatically. This goes back to 04, the lowest short interest since going back on this chart.
Well, what does it mean?
What it means is that this is kind of a, I would say this is a inverse correlation where you have no shorts. Like, so, okay, if you have a lot of shorts on a company or on a market, the opportunity for shorts to cover, because they'll cover a little quicker when stocks start moving against them, and then it creates a process where the shorts buy, the buyers buy, the longs buy, and it creates a kind of a cycle throwing out a lot of the shorts. And when markets are moving higher or stocks are moving higher, well, one of the things that happens is when you get to a point where you have so little short interest left, you have to wonder, well, where are those buyers going to come from if markets come down a bit? And then number one. Number two, it's kind of an inverse correlation in that oftentimes you see that when you get to points of the worst markets, you could probably pick these out in 08. Look at all the short interest in 08 and 09. This is kind of one of those, hey, markets may be peaking a little bit here, and don't be too surprised if all of a sudden the shorts start loading up again, right? They got out of it. They stayed away from it. But now price is so high, it's almost, it's too delicious to not take some short positions here on stocks that have run up beyond their levels of reality.
Yeah. Well, actually, the stocks that I've kind of been picking so far on the game, as we go along on this show, they're all shorts.
Yep. Yeah. No inflation. Uh-huh. Copper at an all-time high. Lumber at an all-time high. Housing starts through the roof. Consumer confidence, the best in gosh knows how long. Stocks at an all-time high. I mean, come on. A pair of prototype Nikes worn by Kanye West during his performance of Hey Mama and Stronger at the Grammy Awards in 2008 have shattered the records for a pair of sneakers ever sold. $1.8 million in a private sale.
This just proves to me that people and their money have soon parted.
How are those grapes?
I'm sorry.
You can eat away. Eat away. I don't mind.
I'm sorry. These grapes are so good.
Demand for Crocs is stronger than ever, with expected 2021 revenue growth of 40% to 50%. In the first quarter, we achieved record revenues and profitability with growth in all regions and in all channels. We have raised full-year guidance and will continue to see consumer demand for our products accelerate globally. Follow up on no inflation, corn prices highest since 2013, lumber prices hit another all-time high record, copper prices at a record right at the 2011 high. First time in a recession that copper prices moved higher in history.
Huh.
So there you go.
Well, that's not a good sign.
No inflation.
No, yeah, no inflation. Good examples proving it.
Yep. We saw a big move on the inflation components last week. In particular, the biggest move, I think it was on record, for used cars. Used car prices are over the top. 10% increase month over month for used cars. That's pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous.
Yep. Now, in terms of the Case-Shiller home prices, we saw the national index, which measures home prices across the country, and it displayed a 13.2% gain over the last year, which is the highest rate since December 2005.
It's high.
The 20 city center index showed that Phoenix saw the largest increase with a 20% jump on a year-over-year basis.
Yeah, that tells you something's wrong.
Crude, now more than $70, the highest since 2018.
Yeah.
And your comment is going to be too high.
It's too high.
Did I nail that one?
Should be $35.
Mm-hmm. The National Bureau of Economic Research maintains a chronology of the peaks and troughs of all U.S. business cycles. And the committee comes out with when there is a recession, when there's a trough. They come out when there's a recession and then when you come out of your recession. And it seems that the previous peak in economic activity occurred in February 2020. The economy slooped down through the end of February and March and turned back in April. And officially, the recession lasted 2 months, which makes it the shortest U.S. recession on record.
Wow.
Pretty impressive. So there you go.
Yeah.
I don't know how they did it. I don't know how they call a two-month deal on this. That makes no sense to me. The May S&P, this is the May. May S&P Case-Shiller Home Price Index up 17% year over year. Versus the 15% consensus. The prior was revised to 15% from 14.9%, which is not much of a difference. But 17%, that's an all-time record on a year-over-year increase in housing since they started with these with this series.
It's out of control.
So I'm glad you're here, by the way. I was a little concerned. I was almost happy to say that if you didn't show up, you were the guy in California that won the Powerball.
I wish.
Big money was a single ticket in the Golden State, California, matched all six numbers drawn Monday night to land the game's $699 million jackpot. Been accumulating since early June when a ticket sold in Florida for $286 million.
Yeah, this is the new record. We're number one.
Unbelievable. And the thing is, you don't have a lottery tax. In terms of markets, Dow Jones Industrials, new record. S&P 500, new record. Nothing seems to stop the markets, no matter what. I mentioned Turkey there. Lira fell from a record as the country's latest diplomatic spat gave traders another reason to sell it. I was in Istanbul. I'd mentioned that. I wish I would have known that it was so weak. I would have bought something. They were powering his home flipping operations to make higher offers, the algo, and it ended up winning so many bids that it stopped making new offers on properties. Now, after buying more homes in the third quarter than it ever has before. The company is working through a backlog that need to be fixed up and sold, facing the reality that there's slowing price appreciation and they're going to have to sell a lot of homes at a loss.
And, well, good for people getting to buy them.
Right, that's a good point. But now Zillow put a record number of homes on the market in September, listing prices at the lowest markups since November of 2018. In Bloomberg, they're suggesting that Zillow is looking to unload 7,000 homes for upwards of $2.8 billion after its algo overbid him.
Just to get out from under.
Yep. Real estate prices. Every major metro area in the U.S. has seen double-digit price percent increases in home price over the last year, led by Phoenix, which is 33.5% higher. All except for one city are at record highs.
Yeah.
Here's a nice table there.
Chicago,
which is...
Can't keep up.
Which is up 45%. It's still the last high time it hit an all-time high was 2007. It's never recovered.
Yeah, well, 2007 is upon us again. These are ridiculous numbers.
Ridiculous.
Well, I think that was pretty interesting, but I think that will wrap our first of these two episodes of flashback episodes. And we'll be back next week with this, with the... second version. I want to mention to people that we still are looking for donations. The show is sponsored by you. So go to dhmplug.com and you'll see the button to push.
Yeah, and pushing that button. All right, I will see you again. Sort of in the metaverse version of our best of next week.
Gotcha. See you then.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.
Horowitz & Company, Inc. is registered as an investment advisor with the state of Florida and conducts business in other states where it is properly registered or is excluded from registration requirements. Registration does not imply any level of skill or training.